This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The pandemic boom in TV, films, and video games is ushering in a new golden age for British screen productions. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Chi Santarelli in for Victoria Craig. Good morning on this final day of 2021. Well, nightclubs remain open in England for New Year's Eve, but like many of you, I'm probably going to be curled up in front of the TV watching some of these.
Your Majesty, I think we have enough respect for one another personally to ask ourselves some of the bigger questions, woman to woman.
Miss Daphne Bridgerton!
You have no idea what it is to have one's entire life reduced to a single moment.
I've heard tales of your kind, Witcher. I thought you'd have fangs or horns or something.
I had them filed down.
Clips there from The Crown, Bridgerton and The Witcher, hugely popular series all filmed in the UK. In fact, British people spent more time online than ever this year, according to data from the UK's biggest telecoms provider, Virgin Media O2. And the British TV industry is enjoying a record year due to the huge growth in streaming. Spending on drama production is almost twice what it was before the pandemic at over $5 billion. Over the last 8 years, there's been a tenfold increase in spending. Figures from the British Film Institute show TV drama alone now employs more people than the steel and coal industry combined. It marks one of the strongest recoveries of any industry in the UK. The BBC's media correspondent, David Salito, explains the allure of filming in the British Isles.
It was calculated there are 17 studios in the UK that are either being built or expanding. And really, up until, shall we say, 15 years ago, there were probably 4 or 5 studios in the whole of the UK that were actually busy most of the time.
Why is there such a boom in the UK when they could go to other locations in Europe or even places like Australia?
About 4 or 5 years ago, the UK government extended its what's known as a tax credit. You can write off a large part of production against tax. So the UK became very competitive economically. Number two, there is a long track record of making high-end drama and TV. Where was Star Wars in the 70s made? It was made at Pinewood in the UK. Where was Superman, the original Superman, made? It was made in the UK. There is a large number of people who have the skills to make high-end TV. It is hugely lucrative and providing a lot of jobs. I mean, one of the most amazing things now is that there are more people employed making TV drama in the United Kingdom that are involved in the steel and coal industry. If you had said that to me 30 years ago, you'd have had to pick me up off the floor. These days, in South Wales, which was the home of steel and coal and heavy industry, there are now 3 TV studios employing several thousand people, churning out TV drama. It is an amazing transformation.
It sounds like the creative industries in Britain have actually benefited during the pandemic. Is that a correct assessment?
Very up and down. One of the first things that was shut down almost completely was TV and film production. Very large numbers of people working in very close proximity. And that's one of the reasons why the numbers have bounced back so dramatically, because there is this demand for content and they had to stop everything. And now they are desperately trying to get back up to speed as quickly as possible to feed the beast, as it were.
So a really positive future for those both behind and in front of the camera here in Britain. David Salito, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
A pleasure.
Now, one of the most successful British creative exports in history turned 20 this year. I'm talking, of course, about the boy wizard Harry Potter. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson looks behind the curtain at some of the magical profits the Potter franchise has spun.
Back in 2001, when The Philosopher's Stone, or in the US, The Sorcerer's Stone, was released, could anyone really have imagined how huge the Potterverse would become? It would be difficult to put a number on how much exactly the films, books and of course the merchandise have made, but I asked Scott Mendelson, a film critic and self-described box office pundit at Forbes, to give it a go.
I would have to imagine in the tens of billions of dollars, if not the 20s of billions of dollars. Every piece of it is monetizable. They don't eat regular jelly beans, they eat weirdly flavored jelly beans. You know, and every character has their own special wand.
And these characters almost come to life at the Warner Brothers Studio Tour in Watford, north of London.
My name is Tolan. I'm an interactor at the Warner Brothers Studio Tour London, making Harry Potter, and we are currently standing in the Great Hall of Hogwarts.
And in front of us, there's, I guess, the high table where Professor Dumbledore and Professor McGonagall and so on would be sitting. It's actually quite intimidating, weirdly.
Yeah, I mean, this is some of where Britain's, you know, finest and greatest acting talent stood.
And one of the most popular destinations for Harry Potter fans is Edinburgh, where J.K. Rowling lived at the time of writing the books and where a lot of her inspiration came from. Luckily, for my modest BBC budget, I was able to join a free tour, the Potter Trail.
Welcome to Victoria Street. Now, this is believed to be the street that inspired the Muggle Street of Diagon Alley, a curving cobblestone street with many colourful and interesting-looking shops.
One of those shops is Museum Context, owned by Andrew McRae.
I do have a sign outside that does speculate, was this perhaps the inspiration for Ollivander's One Shop? We actually pride ourselves on having an extremely wide array of these incredible film replica wands.
And just on cue, an excited gaggle of middle-aged men entered the shop. Where are you all from? South Korea. What's your favourite character? Whose wand would you like?
Harry Potter.
Good choice.
Yeah.
These are just some of the fans who have helped make Harry Potter and all his wizarding merchandise into a global phenomenon. I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Having a butterbeer at the Warner Brothers lot is one of my favourite things to do. And finally, some end-year credits, because staying on air isn't as simple as it sounds. My team has done amazingly this year under difficult circumstances, thanks to host Victoria Craig, senior producers Stephen Ryan, Jonathan Froon and Sarah Hawkins, as well as the many studio managers and engineers who work behind the scenes. From all of us at the BBC World Service, thank you for supporting public service radio and have a happy, healthy 2022. In London, I'm Leisha Chi Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.